The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome to the MMA Roadshow, episode number 201. My name is John Morgan.
You're waiting for bells and whistles with me, right?
Yeah, where's the bells and whistles? The ones from episode 200, they don't go with us forever?
Nah, man. I spared all the expense on that one. Ain't no, I'm putting on that karate combat event, you know.
You only got that one-time license for the special effects?
That's it.
Fair enough. I understand. Well, John Morgan and Cole Coffee are here in lovely Las Vegas. The weather is fantastic. Sorry to all y'all up there in the Midwest. It's looking scary up there. So
it is cold.
Hang tight.
My sister-in-law, my brother, the part of Michigan, I don't even like saying that word. It doesn't even roll right out of my mouth. But she put a picture on Facebook the other night. It was minus 17.
Oh.
Her windows were completely frosted over ice. And she still had to drive somewhere, drive to work or drive something. And I was just like, that is brutal.
How does everybody not just shut down?
Right?
I mean, like,
it was one in Columbus earlier when I looked. Now it's at a nice 10. They're getting a nice light snow right now. But
God bless anybody that's got to go through that. I'm serious when I say that, man. That is.
It's for the hardcore.
Oh,
I mean,
my
God.
It's 52 degrees right here right now.
Yeah.
We're sitting out here. It's 9:30 at night on a Thursday evening.
Doing like we do.
Not particularly how we do. Having a little bit of beverage, but only a little bit of beverage this evening because I've got to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and help out with coverage from the weigh-ins down
Which
at
is
USC Fortaleza.
Less than 6 hours from now.
Brutal. So trying to be a little bit responsible and not wake up with a hangover and start my shift at 3 a.m. or even worse, just not wake up.
That would be bad. Well, that wouldn't be the worst of things, but
I mean, people got to get their UFC Fortaleza weigh-in coverage in, man.
Yeah.
But listen, I'll tell you what. With this being a non-event week for us, and I wish, you know, Fernanda Prachis is down in Fortaleza, Brazil, handling that event by herself. But for being a non-event week for us, man, it's been a busy week.
It has.
A lot going on in Las Vegas. Nevada State Athletic Commission meeting, UFC 235 on-sale press conference in a span of a couple days. So even though it's, I guess, you know, quote-unquote week off from an event, man, I feel like it's been a busy one.
It has. And that I think that the NSAC meeting, the Nevada State Athletic Commission, or the nutsack, should you want to call it that, as
so
I like to
immaturely
call it.
I mean,
it makes me giggle every time.
It does. But, and you're the only one that laughs.
That's true.
You're literally the only one that laughs.
I amuse myself.
How about the nutsack
meeting? It just made me laugh again. It was so long and it was so dreary at moments listening to just guys talk about science and the testing, and you know, literally was zoning out on my feet. And I think that was just like, talk about an energy just drain, just listening to something. That's
tedious
the kind of
is the word I used to describe it a couple times.
So brutal. I mean, just I felt like I was back in school and it was just like, what are we listening to? Why can't
right.
we? I forgot that we were at a licensing hearing. You know, when you're hearing all the stuff, you're just like, what is going on? So that was a big drain on the week. That was crazy. I think that's what kind of set the whole week just sort of weird, you know. And
that was a long day.
It was like a very long
4
day.
4 hours or something of testimony.
And then today was good fun. But I think the fact that they shifted the press conference to the evening.
Right.
So then it was like, oh, I had to do a bunch of other work during the day before we even got to that. And now we still got more to come. So this is a long day, too.
5 p.m. press conference. Normally it seems like we're doing it earlier in the day. Yeah. It was cool, though, being back at MGM today, man. It was funny.
Cool.
I didn't even think twice about it until I was pulling into the garage.
Yeah.
It's just been so long since we've done something at MGM. It was weird. It felt almost nostalgic to me, man. Like I was thinking about old fights. You know, now that T-Mobile Arena is the center of the universe in terms of live UFC events, we don't do anything at MGM anymore. And I don't know. It just reminded me of a lot of old fights. I mean, listen, MGM, the parking situation sucks, but the hotel was pretty easy to get around.
Yeah.
Mandalay was always the best. Mandalay is the easiest to get in and out of, at least for me. I mean, I'm coming from the South.
Mandalay was still pretty easy, too, for me as well.
Yeah, But being in there, I don't know. So I was thinking a lot of old fights and all the press conferences we did over at Studio A and B, and heck,
Studio
even that press conference we were in the David Copperfield Theater today. Of course, we've done a lot of press conferences there over the years. But I mean, the one that definitely stands out would be the Connor Nate Diaz Connor throwing the Monster Energy drinks. That was that same place that we were in there today.
What's crazy now I think about it, some of the last like Studio A and B ones, which are we call them Studio A and B, and you think they're small rooms, but these are huge, big,
massive.
Conference
Massive
rooms.
Ballrooms.
Remember the last couple events? They were long fight weeks, but remember they brought out beer afterwards. Like, thanks for sticking around.
Yeah.
But now it feels like almost like that was a nice way of like signing off.
Yeah.
Not that they knew that it was going to go away, but that was like one of the last press conferences. So it kind of was like a send off.
Yeah.
Now when I look back and I'm like, wow, I guess it was like a crazy week, but it was also like when you think about it, I was like, thank you, MGM.
I hope you had the time of your life. Kind of fades out
as
you're drinking a beer.
That was so close to it. We might get flagged for copyright violation with that. That was so spot on right there.
Apologize, you know.
Whatever band that was.
Green Day, right?
It was Green Day.
Come on.
I forgot, you know.
All right. Well, listen, it was an nostalgic point. All right, let's start, I guess, because we've seen a lot of John Jones. So I guess that's the guy we got to start with this week, right? I mean, as you said, man, multiple hours of testimony at the Nevada State Athletic Commission meeting, or
Nutsack. And it wasn't hours of John. It was hours
no.
of their expert witnesses.
In fact, I will
he was
say
on
this.
There for – he said about – two words.
Kudos to Anthony A. Marnell III, the current commission chair, who was basically like, John, you don't have to sit up here, bro. Go sit in the back of the room and be comfortable. You know, like, you don't have to sit here and listen to all this, which is probably a good thing because I'm sure John would have been nervous the whole way. But, in watching that meeting, and you and I had to sit there and watch live, I doubt many people watched the whole thing. But, listen,
no one.
It's just if
no
we were filming
it.
If we were, it's all you know. If you're interested, we did put the archive on YouTube, right? So if you want to watch the whole thing, you can. He said he was a little concerned at one point and thought, you know, maybe it wasn't going his way. I will say this: I never thought for a second that it was going badly. The whole time, I thought things
not for
were going
him.
Well, yeah, not for him. And that's I guess that's what I want to say is that I think, to be honest with you, even though yes, it was a little tedious, it was a little dreary at times. I thought the commission handled this perfect, man. I thought they really did. I thought that the testimony they brought in, they tried to get clarification, they tried to get an understanding, a better idea of this whole long-term metabolites thing, which we're all trying to figure out. But it wasn't fun, it wasn't exciting, but I didn't feel like they were grandstanding much.
Right.
I didn't feel like they were trying to, push home any agendas or whatever. Now I will say, when they had the rep from USADA up there. And I'm so glad they addressed it because if you have been following this situation, you know, when UFC 232 got moved to L.A. and we were all kind of trying to learn about what was going on and deciding what we thought, you know, I finally, by the end of that week, got to a point where I'm like, you know what? I'm on board with this, man. I see what California is saying. I see what Nevada is saying. I see what the UFC is saying. I think we made the right choice here. I think we're in the good here. And then all of a sudden it comes out that, oh, by the way, small minor piece of information. There were two more tests that we didn't tell you about, and Andy Foster didn't know about it when California was doing the hearing. And that, to me, it was just shady.
It was just shady
to me, man.
Super shady.
And so I was proud of Bob Bennett and Anthony Marnell for bringing that up in the commission meeting. And Chaz said, now at that point, they did grandstand a little bit. I think they both got a little bit dramatic, especially I think Bob was kind of maybe he was turning back into old FBI Bob or whatever. But, you know, that representative for USADA did no favors for himself whatsoever. But I like the fact that they took it head on and they said, listen, the fact that you had these two tests and you didn't give them to California and you didn't give them to us and nobody knew about them is ridiculous. And it is. It is ridiculous. How can we have these three powerful organizations and bodies, you know, theoretically all supposed to be on the same page in terms of keeping the sport clean and not be sharing information? I mean, it should be readily available to all of them.
Yep, I agree. And that's what it was to me, at least when it got to that point, it felt like they were getting everything out into the open. I think that Nevada State Athletic Commission was getting a lot of heat as for the timing of this news going out as well. And I think this was their way of saying, like, all right, now y'all are hearing it. This wasn't our fault. This is the group that didn't get it to us. This is not, we're not getting it, but we're going to change that, you know? So I think for them going after them like they did was a lot of sort of saving face. So yes, it was sort of grandstanding, but I think they had a reason to as well, because I think, you know, we throw a lot of flack towards them because there are a lot of times they do some stuff that just leaves your head scratching. But it was good in this instance where they acted like they wanted to, like they had something to defend for themselves, you know, because I think they've been getting a lot of shit. And I think this was one time where they were like, hey, we weren't really in the wrong in this one. You know, these guys should have been giving us our stuff. So if they're able to get this information, it would be nice, because I think what still got me, though, towards the end was the fact that they were putting all this blame, a lot of it, on just USADA, like, oh, we wouldn't have let this fight happen. Andy wouldn't have let this fight happen.
Right.
But, you know, when they were going back at the beginning, we're like, you know, so you let the UFC know beforehand and then you put it in writing. So that's why I thought there was maybe still some shadiness on the side of the UFC. Like, they still had some knowledge beforehand that they could have fessed up and be like, oh, hey, by the way, you know, Andy, there were some other tests, but blah, blah, but they
didn't say anything. Well, you can't count on the UFC to say anything.
True.
And I guess in a perfect world, you should be able to.
Right. But I think that there was still probably, like, they didn't ask, I guess, those questions. Did the UFC know about these two other tests? You know, did anybody else outside of you guys know about these other tests? Because then there would have been a lot of questions. Well, okay, now the UFC is in this point where they're getting information and controlling the flow of the information, if that would have came out. But we didn't find that particular portion out, but we did find out that he said that the UFC got word that something was coming down the line.
Right.
And that was a point where if he said something really wrong, he would have shot them in the foot, you know, but he was like, I believe, yes, now I recall, what I remember saying was that a letter was coming. I'm like, bro, that's
testimony.
Just shady as shit. That's just,
hey, bro. Letters on the way.
Come on, man. That's why I'm calling you. I'm just letting you know.
To say, letters on the way. Nah, you didn't do that. Yeah, and that's the thing is that, you know, I just want to see more transparency from USADA. And this is another situation where I don't think we got the necessary transparency that we need. I mean, I get, you know, this whole idea of kind of, you know, keeping test results close until we know more about it so that we don't accuse somebody wrongly, you know, the whole Junior Dos Santos thing or whatever, where guys are getting their name out there and then it turns out they didn't do anything wrong, and so what, you're still labeled a cheater. And I do understand that, but in situations where there's already been a positive and there's ongoing investigations and there's ongoing suspensions and there's ongoing discussions about, I mean, you have to get the information out at that point, you know, at least to the commissions. And I don't know, I just hope that this does, I hope it does make some change. It sounds like Nevada wants to impact some change. How cool is it that Andy Foster from California was watching the stream and saw what was going on or listening and texted in to say, that's not what happened. You know, that's not how it went down. So it looks like everybody's on the same page, and I hope.
Bob, that's not what happened. Let me finish. Bob, that's not what happened.
It's amazing that his text comes out just like that, too. Like, he's got a voice to text that it comes back text to voice.
Let me finish.
He does have a very endearing southern accent, man.
Like, when I heard his voice, all I kept thinking about, and it brought back, maybe because I was thinking, because what was the guy's name? Ross Perot? Guy was like, let me finish. Let me finish. Let me finish. Hey, guys.
When you said Ross, I thought you were going to say Roscoe P. Coltrane.
Well, same difference.
But Ross Perot.
Yeah.
Yes.
So funny. But, yeah. Oh, that's just – I bet he was just shaking in his boots like, I got to text Bob.
Oh, absolutely.
This is not going on. You know, we're not going to take the fall for this, but
– I think they handled it well. I do. And I will say this. I like the idea of the one-fight license – and then let's test you at least every 2 weeks because
– But isn't that most of them always a one-fight license? Don't they have to apply for a license every time?
Well, it's a year. It's usually a year. And so unless you fight within the same jurisdiction within a year, then it's kind of over and over.
Gotcha.
So, but you could fight twice in Vegas. But I like it. And you're right. It's not that that really accomplishes much. I think it just means, hey, you got to come before us again if you want to fight an international fight week or you want to fight later in the year. And I think that's good. And I do feel like, I guess from what I know what the people, the anti-John Jones people say, this long-term metabolite thing is a result of microdosing. That's what he's doing. He's microdosing. He's taking very, very small amounts that are leaving the system quickly,
right,
and it is leaving behind this long-term metabolite. I feel like if they're testing him every 2 weeks or maybe even every week, I mean, shouldn't that alleviate some of that concern? I mean, it can't.
It should.
I mean,
it could have did a lot of favors
that fast.
Yeah,
but
it could have did a lot of better if it was in the past. Because now, of course, no one would be stupid enough. Should he? Not saying that he was microdosed, but nobody would be that stupid to do it going forward.
Oh, yeah,
but it makes sense that yes, if he was doing it now, he would get caught
right.
in that 2 week time frame. But like they said before, this thing happened. There was a 10-month period where he didn't get tested.
How did that happen?
That doesn't make any fucking sense.
How did that happen?
Yeah, I mean, like, that's shady. That's just, you saw it. It's like, all right, this is a major shit that's going on. A guy recently had some stuff happen. Like, you figure if anybody pops, whether it's turned over or whatever, should be thrown into a category where you're testing more often. Not
that'd be the easiest way.
Not
if
10
you're
months.
Already under investigation,
yeah,
and then you pop again, come on, bro. You ain't got a leg to stand on at that
point.
You
should be the category one range where you're tested multiple times.
I agree. If you
and then you have to go a certain time frame clean before you backpedal into like category two or category three, which is like normal testing.
See, I believe, and it's funny because, Dana said it today at the press conference. I did an interview with a radio station the other day, and I said the same thing, and it's because I believe it for a long time, is that I get that anti-doping is hard, and I get that ensuring a clean sport is next to impossible, but I don't believe that means we shouldn't do our best at it because
right.
I'm in the same boat as what Dana said today. Hitting a ball over a wall, I don't give a damn. Do what you want. You know what I mean? Riding a bike up a mountain, do what you want, man. But getting into a cage with another human being and having hand-to-hand combat, I don't want those people to be cheating if at all possible. I know that's almost impossible to regulate, but I want to see us do better, man. And just USADA, they got to do better. They got to have – every decision they make has to be beyond reproach. It has to be that we just hold them to a standard. We go, wow, these guys, man, you cannot question their integrity. You cannot question their decision-making. And I think in this John Jones situation, we've seen that there's holes in their game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they got to shore them up. So
yeah, I mean, there's big holes. There's big holes. Because I think there's – when it comes to the fact of, like USADA – is the testing thing, and you got the commissions like, okay, we agree, we want to certify and let them use it, whatever. But the fact that they're still going back to their client first and then letting some information, like they have to change that relationship
yep.
to make it legit, make them a legit third-party thing, make any notification, if it's something, has to be simultaneous
Absolutely.
Between the promoter. I mean, put a fucking CC on the email or something so that everybody can see that the thing has happened. The fact that they're going directly to their client, which I get it, they're the client. But if you're agreeing to have them be the certifying body and not making going with what the commission says and let the commission pick or whatever, there's got to be some, or there's always that possibility that you're serving your client first, and that there's always going to be an iffy ground
right.
there.
You're not giving the courtesy heads up.
You give the possibility that there could be some sort of corruption or something happening.
Yeah.
Because if it ever came out, the UFC knew that there were two other tests going on and that, the commissions and other stuff didn't, then I think that's pretty shady, and that would show that the USADA is showing only favoritism to their client and not to the actual body of
I agree.
The commission body.
Hopefully this will be a moment that we say, this is where everything started to turn a little bit. It took a positive change.
That, or at least the commission can say, well, we tried, and they can let shit slide again for another years until
not
the next
fault, big
dog. One.
We gave it a shot.
We tried.
We gave it a
we
roll.
We tried, dog. We had a 4-hour meeting, guys. We're good for 2 years at least.
I tell you what, man. Listen, you and I have seen a lot of iterations of this Nevada State Athletic Commission. The more and more I see Marnell up there conducting things, man, I like the way he handles stuff, man. I really, really
how
do.
He drafts the motions without drafting it, and then he has guys up there just like,
yeah, what he said.
I motion.
What he said.
I make a motion, and he's like, for what? As what you stated. Bro, I could be the fucking commissioner. I can be one of these guys. And like, I'm just like, yep, I make a motion that anything that Commissioner, the chairman just said.
I'm sorry, I wasn't listening.
Let's make that a motion.
I wasn't listening. Did you realize we've been sitting here for 4 hours? I wasn't listening.
You know, like, nobody take – I mean, they take a couple notes, but, like, that was the thing about what was the ball buster? I can't believe I'm forgetting her name. She would, like, write long notes and would draft the motion. She's like, all right, so if I'm getting this right, let me read this back. You were making a motion for this, 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 and it would just run right through. And it was perfectly. She took, like, the best notes. Nobody up there really takes notes or does
True.
Anything. You know, True. They just kind of go. And so that's why I think we run into these things where it's like, I make a motion. And he's like, can you say what the motion's
what
about?
Exactly?
Like, we really even paying attention up there? So.
What was her name?
I know.
Right now. It's making me mad. I mean, I was like a picture. Her and King Mo going at it. I mean.
Yeah, I don't know. It'll come. I'll look it up. I'll look it up.
I can't believe there's people right now listening to this going, you idiots! but no, I do. I will say.
She's been like the butt of every joke for like years.
But I do. I like what Marnell's doing. I like what Bennett's doing, man. I really do. All right, let's continue to talk about John Jones. After that meeting, he just gave us a quick statement, which was nice. He didn't have to talk to us at all. He gave us a quick statement. Not a lot to it. But then he said, listen, I'll answer things at the press conference. He did so today. He answered a couple of questions to me at the press conference, you know, how he's hoping it moves forward, how he's hoping this will vindicate him. You know, a year's worth of testing should go a long way towards telling
Pat
people
Lundvall.
That he's not. Pat Lundvall, there you go, of course. Pat Lundvall. But a year's worth of testing should go a long way towards at least people believing he's clean now. But I think people are always going to people are always going to have their doubts or whatever. But I don't know. What'd you think about just looking at him today, judging him? I mean, he was super relaxed in there.
Super relaxed, great spirits. I mean, but that's the thing. He's always been a crowd favorite. And he walked in, had cheers, got the biggest pop. He was the last guy rolling out there. He seemed very at ease. I think having that whole commission thing behind him and being able to now just focus on what's going forward – now he just has to keep himself clean. I mean, he's joking. He was still joking about partying while he's working out. You know, I mean, like,
yeah. He
is literally having his cake and eating it too right now. So he's in a good spot right now. I mean, all he needs to do is stay focused, have a good fight with Anthony, come out on top. And, I mean, he's right back where he fucking left off.
Two things. What did you make? Not that you can read too much into it, but I find his face-offs interesting because he always does the – you know, he usually does the thing where he doesn't look at his opponent. You know, he kind of looks down or whatever. And he's had a couple, you know, where he'll look up and then you're mm-hmm. like, oh, he's more this. But did you see? And I actually use it as the picture on. I use it as the picture on the cover of MMA Junkie right now as for the face-offs. But he had this thing where for a moment he looked away, like he kind of looked at Anthony and then he kind of made this face. He looked off to the side and kind of, I don't want to say like a disgusted face or like a, what would you say? It just. You watching it there?
Yep, I see.
Kinda,
that face. You know what that face was from? It's from our New Zealand buddy. He said something like, "Anthony, you got this."
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, he was chirping. He was chirping the whole time.
Our buddy Zane that was out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, he was chirping the whole time. Like that's why he when he said something to somebody, that's who he was talking to.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's what that phrase. Look at that frame I just stayed right on.
I know. Yeah. Okay.
But that's
got
what
it
was. It was in complete response. It definitely wasn't to Anthony by any means.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good. That's insight there. Yeah. Our Kiwi
that's
buddy
the phrase
Zane
that
was
you
in there.
That's the picture you used?
Yeah. I thought it was in some kind of disdain.
No,
that's
what people are going to think it is. But no, it was to the guy heckling. That's why at the end he was like, he said something, and John said he was like, oh, but you were supporting him. He's like, no, bro, you're great. You're whatever. Like that whole like back and forth was between somebody completely off stage. It wasn't Anthony at all.
That's too funny. Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah. So, according to my picture, he has disgust for Anthony Smith, but that's not.
Hopefully, that's not what the title of the, like, a story or whatever.
No. It was just a picture we used. Okay, all right, so that's good. So, good insight there. The other thing is, all right, so how about this? And it kind of leads into Anthony Smith, too. So, as you said, man, there were some hecklers in the crowd today, right? And they were basically heckling Anthony the whole time.
Well, there was
time.
One group of hecklers.
One group,
well, there was like maybe a couple other few randoms off the other side.
I think,
I think
those others got emboldened by the – the nonsense. Yeah. I mean, it was so much that at one point Dana was like, stop.
It got to be a little bit much.
So, but what I wanted to ask you is, number one, I guess, because it's kind of a two-parter. Number one, what did you take? I mean, because it obviously bothered Anthony, and or at least, I don't want to say bothered him, but affected him or whatever. I mean, it bugged him to the point that he said something. He was like, are you going to shut up?
Yeah.
But it also, and did you notice that, you know, when Anthony was getting frustrated that John was like, kind of
trying
rough.
To egging him on,
fist bump. He's like, yeah, bring some more. So, what did you take of those that moment for the two psychologies, both guys? Because I was kind of surprised. I don't want to say it rattled Anthony because it didn't rattle him, but he's very much just like a confident, you know, well spoken, whatever. For him to even take the time to acknowledge it, I was a little interested by that.
Well, I think, when you saw the crowd clap after he said something, I think it had finally just got on his nerves. Where it was like, the people that were heckling were trying to make it all about them as opposed to what was going on. And I think it gets to a point where everybody gets annoyed about it. I heard other camera guys, you know, start to bitch about it. It's like, you know, I get it. You want to have fun. But it's like, at some point, couldn't you at least be respectful? You probably couldn't recite what was even being said up there because you're just chirping on about whatever. And, like, this whole, like, hey, I want to be part of it. I mean, it's – you know, so they make it about them. Like, it's the same people. I mean, it's one thing if you go to a comedy show, the comedians want to be heckled. They want to be
like
participate.
To fire back.
But if somebody's there and they're trying to do their business, it's like going to McDonald's and seeing somebody work in the counter and start making random comments about them doing their work. It just doesn't make sense, you know. So I could see where he finally was just like, God, just shut the fuck up, you know. But these were also guys that were very pro his opponent. So I could see where he might have got tweaked a little bit quicker than anybody
else. Like,
if he was
just sitting there yelling Lionheart nonstop, he'd have been like, all right.
That's cool. That's cool, you know. But, I think I can see on John's side as well. You know, one, they were cheering for him the whole time, but also – John is kind of a rebel, this rebel party guy. I mean, he was like talking about wanting to go party with him. He's like, oh, you know, I enjoy the blah, 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 you know. So I think it just went, he was enjoying the moment and enjoying the fact that, you know, especially in a moment like that, his opponent was losing it a little bit, you know. So I'm sure he was loving that moment.
Let me just get this
know?
Early little tweak on the screws
here. And just to show, like, hey, it's only going to get worse. Fight week. Like, if you think this was bad and it tweaked them, wait till there's, you know.
Because it wasn't a huge crowd. I mean, this was just a random Thursday night. There was only
multiply
a couple days'
that
notice.
By 4, 5, 10 times people. What's it going to do to Anthony? I mean, like, I think this could be a whole different situation because I'm sure Fight Week he expects it and he's going to be tuned into the fight and he's not going to let it get to him. But I think this being so far out, he probably thought that it was going to be maybe more of a professional setting.
Right.
I mean, but who knows? I mean, it is Vegas, and it is a press conference open to the public, so you never know what you're going
to
get. But
be interesting to
see. It was interesting that he got it, but he wasn't the only one. A couple other guys interacted, you know, with hecklers and kind of you could see it sort of. But at the end, you know, they made some. They made a few funny statements that were pretty funny.
A couple made people laugh.
Yeah.
All right. So who do you think stole the show today? Because John, I mean, obviously John and Anthony are the main event, and this week has been very much centered around John Jones, but I thought, you know, two obvious candidates, you know, Tyron and Kamaru going back and forth
for sure.
was solid, and I thought Ben Askren was incredible today.
That's it. That's it. I mean, if there was another one, it was that main discussion back and forth between Kamaru and Tyron that was awesome. So when you put that together, like, that helped steal the show. I mean, when it came down to actual exchanges, hands down, it won the show. That'll be the highlight.
That was the highlight right there. That's going in the fight
you
promo.
Know? But watching Ben and even Ben's interaction with Kamaru, but also Ben and Dana back and forth had a couple of moments that was really fun.
So
I had this great shot where a lot of the time, so I had them both in my frame, And due to the lens that I had, the focal length, I could only have one in super crisp focus at a time. So, like, say when Dana and him were going back and forth, I would just kind of roll in focus between the two of them. And it was just funny because I'd be focused in on Dana and I'd see Ben just start smiling like he was going to say something. So then I'd kind of anticipate and I'd roll to him. And he was on fire, man. I loved it. But he has a polite way of really getting and digging at people. Like,
I think that's why I like, you know, it. It's so cool under fire. You know what I mean? It's cool and calm. And he doesn't get his temper up. It doesn't become anger. And it's because of that. It's almost like, It's like,
and he doesn't need to talk shit. Like,
that's it.
Like, he maybe said one, unless there's like many.
He said Darren Till acts like a bitch, right?
Right. Like, there maybe was only two or three, like, cuss words, if that. It might have been the one.
Right.
But he still talked a great game.
Right.
And it's refreshing to see something that's like, he can get under the skin and do whatever. But he comes off as like this. When he does it, it's almost like this farm guy yokel or something. And maybe it's because it's such plain speak, but he has a way of just getting under
it. It's
and
a little dorky,
it.
But it's like good.
Maybe
dorky.
That's
you know
it.
What
maybe
I mean?
It's better that. But it's like, I love it because it's refreshing.
I do too.
You know, I just love that he's able to come in, get under skin, say what he needs to say, but it's like he doesn't say anything that makes you want to be like, oh, that was dick.
Yep.
That was a dickish. Like, he just. It doesn't rub you.
And
like, Colby is so
out.
Opposite. Like, Colby is so over the edge and so over the top that sometimes you're like, okay, that was extreme. And there's some guys when they try to do it, you're like, all right, now he's just being a dick. And you could talk it a little bit. Like, when you Alexander Hernandez, great job, was talking good shit. But then at a certain point, I was like, all right, now you're coming off as like a dick.
Right.
You know, and you're like, now I want to root for your opponent. But when Ben was up there saying all this stuff was jabbing, but it was like, you want to laugh along. It was funny. He was laughing along with it. It wasn't like you never crossed a line. And it's nice that guys can go up there and say stuff without having to cross line and also without pushing it, because it feel like, oh, you could share that with anybody. And that's what, you know, we want to take some of the footage. You want to cross it over to somebody that maybe is not a big fan of the sport. You
and
take
you
a lot of the
cleverness.
Other stuff.
Yeah, you can't
yeah,
take
because
that.
Because you can't take a lot of the stuff because they're like, they're immediately going to turn off once you start. Once the third F-bomb goes, they're
right.
put off. That's like, I've tried to, like, lessen, like, what I do when I even talk on this, you know, because
right.
I know at the beginning I was much more colorful, but then I realized that can be off-putting, you know.
Right.
You know, I had to change my language
I mean,
a little bit.
Every now and then a good well-timed, crafted F-bomb is perfect in the right spot.
It's like salt to, you know, a nice
burrito.
Piece of steak. You got to have some salt and pepper on some stuff.
I just thought, you know, I was just joking saying food. I thought you were going to say like salt to a wound or something. And I was like,
no, I'm kind of hungry still. We haven't had real proper dinner yet. Man, that's why. We've had hummus and carrots.
Oh, some phenomenal hummus.
Yeah.
Very good. No, I thought Asker was great. I really did. I think he stole the show. But I did think the heat between Woodley and Usman, I knew there was some there, but I didn't expect it to blow up the way it blew up.
Yeah.
And I think that does make that fight even more intriguing. I mean, I think the intrigue around that fight had been just the whole Covington role and who was fighting who and was Dana going to strip him and, you know, what was going on. And so, but I definitely feel like that got a lot more heat and that got a lot more interesting today. But I definitely feel like Askren shined in his UFC press conference debut.
Yeah.
Usman did, unfortunately. Have the I'm going to come in your face line, which we at the Roadshow cannot let pass without giggling a little bit. And
it makes me laugh every time.
We're so immature. And to add to the laughter factor, it was right about how he was talking how big his shovel is and how deep he goes with his shovel. So he was just talking about how he swings the biggest shovel.
All night
and
long.
He digs and he's coming in your face all night long. So shout out to the Bobby Green Classic, dude. That's what Usman threw out there tonight. And I will say, by the way, Tyron with the LL Cool J line was pretty strong, and I thought he did
a little.
I thought he had a pretty good little LL Cool J impression, you know, doing a little licking the lips, and it was fun.
I like it.
What are you looking for?
Oh, no, I was like, I jumped it. I called, you know, we've been having hot spots and Wi-Fi issues,
sure.
And if anybody was watching our thing, so that little hot spot thing, I called the help desk at Gannett today, or trying to open up a ticket to get a bigger plan.
Right, because they were like, did you really stream 4 hours of live video, sir?
Yeah. Well, it's like I did it over my phone. Like, I ran over the budget of what was on that thing just on Bellator.
Jeez.
Because it's a 6-gig thing. And so it was 2 gigs, almost 3 gigs over. And you had to, like, they're going to get billed for it at the beginning of next month. But the way to go past, to not get the charges, is to bump the plan up.
Right.
So I'm trying to get them to bump the plan up so that, one, hopefully it'd be like an unlimited or something, but just so we have more stuff. You know, like, I know people are frustrated, like, oh, the stream's dropping. This is, I'm like, bros, I'm using my fucking phone, you know, because the commission, the internet
the
was there. Yeah, and it's just like, people just expect that it's there, and it's like, no, you just make shit happen, you know. So that thing helped, but I couldn't use it again at the thing because it was already over, and it would have just made the overcharge. I'm sure it's not cheap because Verizon is already, like, super expensive. That's why I never use them as a phone. So I was looking because I saw they updated the help desk ticket, so I was just trying to look to see what they said. So we'll see. I don't know. Oh, they're changing it to 10 gigabytes.
How about that?
It said the jetpack was assigned to one of the other VPs. Now it's assigned to me. But yeah, 10 gigs. So it has a.
Well, that is exciting news.
It is super exciting. F you, brother. This is exciting for me. This is my life. I get excited when my Wi-Fi hotspot is bumped 4 gigs. That's fucking.
You and
that's
Ben
good
Ashton
shit.
Could be dorky together. No, it is good.
I
stuff.
Bet we would we be good
Dave.
Buddies.
We need Dave down the road. All right, but listen. So I want to kind of tie in the press conference back to the nutsack meeting again. The trash talking ban, right? And that's a little extensive to say a trash talking ban. But I want to say, because I've seen a lot of people, and Dana White came out today and said, I find it ridiculous. And right. I do think that this is going to be damn near impossible to figure out how to govern. Right. And you're right. Dana went so far as to call it unconstitutional today. And, of course, freedom of speech is something we hold high in the United States. But I got to say, I at least appreciate the idea of trying to say, you know, let's stay away from religion.
Right.
Let's stay away from race. Let's stay away from that. Like for instance, everything that Tyron and Kamaru said today, I got no problem with. You know what I mean? Of course, man, guys are going to talk back and forth. And so, you know, I don't think Nevada is trying to step in and curtail that. You know, I just think it's all that politically charged, racially charged, religious charged. I've seen a lot of negative blowback from the commission saying that they're interested in investigating this and seeing if there's something they could do. But I got to say, I'm okay with it. Yeah. I think there should be a limit.
And I think the big difference in how it could possibly work is they can't go back and they can't penalize somebody after the fact. They can't say, hey, we watched this presser. We don't agree with this.
That's
we're going to fine you. I don't see how they have any legs to stand if they try to do it. But the only legs that they have to do is for the possible non-licensing. They can non-license you for any fucking reason they want. And so they want to maintain a certain standard, they could always say, we don't appreciate, we think, yes, while you're training, what you're doing. I mean, granted, let's take this twofold. They're not going to shoot themselves in the foot because they need the money from the income, from the events. That's how they survive. But if they really wanted to say, we don't, you have a history of saying this sort of things, you've been, you know, attacking racial things, you know, this. We don't feel that you are representative of what we want to fight in Nevada. They could just not license somebody. And I don't see how there's any grounds that anybody could stop them. They have it's their complete right to deny it.
Well, and that's
just like a company. I mean, you think about it like this. Our company today, I can go out and say some stupid ass shit, but I'm a representative of the USA Today, Gannett. I could lose my job.
That's right.
There is no freedom of protection from your employer. Now, Nevada, is not.
I'm not laughing.
That's how easy it is.
I'm just laughing
at
you.
And so they, while are not an employer, but they can still, for their own bookkeeping, their own whatever it takes for them to license and say, this person by these actions doesn't fit into what we want representative. And so you're not going to fight for this year or the next 6 months. Sorry, come back to us in 6 months, you know, do some good, whatever PR work. And then maybe we'll come back at it. And in that way, they're not fighting, they're not doing whatever. and they're not stopping them from fighting anywhere else. They're sure. just not licensing them here. So I could see it slowly working that way. And then fighters would have to, if they want to fight in Nevada, have to clean their language up so that they can get approved for a license.
And you said it best, and I've heard this used in other arguments. It is something I think people need to remember. You know, people say, oh, freedom of speech. But what you have to remember is, yes, you have freedom of speech, but it is not a human, you know, guaranteed right that yeah. you have the right to fight, that you have the right to be licensed to compete. You know right. what I mean? That is not a right. No, that's a right. – that they say it's a privilege, you know. So right. you have to adhere to certain policies in the same way that, as you said, you mentioned with the, you know, Gannett or whatever. Yeah, we have a right to say whatever we want according to the government. Not to our employers,
yeah,
you know.
They have
so,
a right to fire us for it.
That's right. So I don't know. Like, and listen, I am a man. I get that this would be incredibly hard to regulate, and it's going to be difficult to figure out what can be said. But I mean, some of the stuff in the Conor Habib build up, you know, dirty Dagestani rat or whatever, and terrorist. And I don't know that he ever said the word Muslim. I don't remember that ever coming out. But I felt like it was almost implied to a degree or whatever.
Yeah,
but
I can't remember. I'd have to go back. I felt like he maybe did.
I know a lot of people said it, and then, like, oh, it got religious, and then, like, you started to look for it, and I don't remember seeing the word Muslim anywhere or whatever. But anyway, I think those are limits that we could say, listen, man, like, that's – let's not step over those lines. So maybe that's silly on my part, but I at least respect the idea, because some of that stuff started feeling kind of uncomfortable to me, where I was like, dude, we've got – this is too much. We don't need this.
Yeah.
All right. Let's. Well, speaking of Habib and Conor, let's just go into that. Habib's suspension, $500,000, which I will admit seems very, very strong to me. But you know, you start putting those pay per view figures together and start doing the math. I mean, you got to think he was, you know, in the $8-10 million range.
Yeah.
So that makes the $500,000 a little bit more palatable. Especially when the guy was willing to say, take my $2 million anyway, I don't care. You
so
know?
That roughly boils down to 25% of what that purse was at the time, which
That's
is
right.
$2 million. So
That's
when
right.
you think of it like that, it doesn't sound that bad.
Right.
When you hear $500,000, that's outrageous.
Yep.
But when you think of 25%, you hear guys
– you get 20% for missing
for
weight.
For missing weight.
Yeah.
So when you think of it like that, you're like, okay, that's not
it's true,
so
man.
Bad.
I hadn't even thought about it like that. You know, yeah. I was thinking of $500,000 as part of $8 or $9 or $10 million. I was like, it's not that bad. But you're right. Even if it's part of $2 million, it's not that bad. Yeah, it sucks, but it's not.
It does
that
suck.
Bad.
But you know, he was like, keep the $2 million.
Yeah,
keep it. I'm done. Yeah. I'm done with it. They gave him $1 million back.
Yeah.
So they sat on that million, and then the fact that they were like, all right, well, here, take another half of it back. We're gonna give you this, whatever. Doesn't seem like harsh.
Yeah,
at
I don't
all.
Think so.
Time like the timeline, 12 months, whatever. Like,
no.
No, 9 months.
Yeah,
that was nothing.
That's nothing either.
That's
what I was gonna say. Nothing.
Like he got off pretty darn good, and that's probably why the dollar value was higher as well. They could have easily said 250 in 12 months.
I thought he was getting a year.
You know,
I said all along, I thought he was getting.
So
a year.
I mean, I think he did all right.
I do too.
Because I think he was willing to just say, forget the million. Keep it. I'm done with you, you know. But now I think it worked out pretty good for him. I feel like he's probably pretty happy with the resolution.
I do too. So here's what's interesting is, and what I want to see, and it sounds like, you know, according to Ali Abdelaziz, his manager, he's going to do it. But this whole concept of doing a PSA, an anti-bullying public service announcement, to get it reduced from 9 months to 6 months, I wonder if it even matters. Like, he's not going to fight. Ramadan this year is from May 5th to June 4th, so he doesn't ever fight during Ramadan. So really all you're talking about would be fighting on that April event, which Dana White said today it won't be that card. So the only real reason to do the PSA would I think would be to fight on that card. And if he's not going to fight on that card, I don't even know if he'll bother with it.
Well, also, too, I think it maintains a little bit of sort of what they've done, their past practice of when somebody has ever done anything where they've done some sort of violence or some sort of whatever.
They've suggested the past.
They bring out this PSA
sure.
thing. You know, I think partially too, they're probably tasked with trying to come up with that. It's probably even like a governor's like, it'd be great if we could have some of these fighters do
give
PSAs
back
that we could give back to the community. And they're like, I know how we can do this. You know, let's kill two birds with one stone.
We'll do it as punishment.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly better than just having a random commissioner or some paid actor. Kids, don't do this.
Yep.
You know, might as well have somebody that the kids love and look up to. But Yeah, I don't know, but
overall, listen, I you know, it probably wouldn't be a bad idea, even if you're not intending to fight in that span between 6 and 9 months. It probably wouldn't be a bad idea to do it just to keep your relationship good, you know, to show, hey, yeah, I'm playing ball with you guys, I see what you want. But I don't know if it's necessarily a big value for him or anything along those lines. So, but I agree with you. I honestly didn't think Khabib got punished too bad here for what happened. I mean, sure, nobody ended up getting hurt, and that was fantastic. But what happened that night in October wasn't good. I didn't have a problem with the reaction. And I will say, and we've been talking a lot about Anthony Amendola, but there was a quote he said, I know the fine is heavy for misconduct, but the misconduct was also heavy, unlike anything that I think I've ever seen since I've been here. And I agree. Yeah. It was a very much out of the ordinary type thing. So I didn't have it an issue with it. Here's what I'm interested about, too. So if the commission is saying you can be back in 6 months, and you know, even if you leave it at 9, and he's saying, no, I'm not going to fight for a year because I'm going to stay true to my guys that got suspended for a year, and I'm not going to fight until they fight. If you're the UFC, do you strip him? Do you think about the idea of maybe stripping him? Because at that point, he's self-imposing a ban. He's he's taking himself out of the equation, even though you know that whatever fight you bring him back to would be big money, it would be big business. Would you consider stripping him if they say, we need you at International Fight Week, and you're saying, nope, I'm not fighting until October, November?
I mean, they've done interim titles for less.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it seems to me like an interim title would.
But if you were calling the shots, would you be pissed at him and say, dude, that's ridiculous, or would you?
No, I'd understand what he was doing, and if anything else, I'd try to find a way to not have a title fight. But if it got to the point, then yeah, for sure, do an interim thing and then make
him
come back and do it.
So weird they do an interim, because I mean, you like Tony.
They've done interims.
Tony Ferguson's not going to want to fight for an interim again, right? I mean, he's got to be like, why would I fight for an interim title?
I think just because Tony's like it. He was fine with it before. Yeah, and I think he just wants to fight, and I think he wants to give it a belt because he knows that means a unification has to happen, even though it didn't happen in this one.
He knows that
it should mean he gets to unify the belt. Oh, wait. It doesn't.
So funny. All right, let's talk
about. I think he would do it again, though.
It would be a bizarre. I don't think they'll do it, but I do wonder if it would rub him the wrong way. He'd be like, bro, we need you to fight. And you're saying you're going to sit out because you're boys. I mean, that's his principle, man. That's the guy.
But he brings good numbers, man. I think he's by doing what he's done and by doing what he did, he breached the gap. Same thing with, like, we shook our head when Conor was doing some of the shit when he first started acting up. We're like, this is ridiculous. And Dana's like, no man is bigger than the UFC. And now they're like, yeah, Conor's Conor. Conor's going to Conor. And like, oh, Dana, remember when you used to say this? You know, so I think Khabib's probably just got to the point where now he is getting – he's got to test that water to see if it's there for him as well. And probably is. I mean
he kind of laid on the law a little bit.
Besides Jones coming back, I mean, he's the hottest dude in the UFC right now.
It's true. True. So. All right, let's talk about Conor McGregor. 6 months, $50,000. I mean, honestly, that's a slap on the wrist. He wasn't going to compete anyway in the 6 months after that fight. $50,000, you know, is a nice
chump
meal.
Change.
Yeah, it's a nice meal out for his family or what have
you. It's not even one of his watches.
It's not even one of his
watches. Not even a watch. He's like, I just won't get a watch this week.
yeah, exactly. I mean, so a slap on the wrist, I don't think it means anything to him. But I will say, I was actually kind of surprised even he did.
You didn't think it was going to be that much?
No. I mean, it's basically nothing, but I really honestly feel like Conor did very little wrong in that situation.
I mean, the whole fact that they kept trying to go, well, he grabbed the guy off the thing and was trying to do this. Yeah, I mean, I could see where the whole – once you even heard Anthony Marnell up there saying, like, self-defense. Once you start getting where a fighter's defending himself, don't expect any normal person, not even just a fighter, that they're not going to defend themselves.
He even said it himself in that little scrum afterwards. He said, now, perfect scenario, he would sit there and do nothing. And then he said, which no MMA fighter is going to do. And I would almost say no person is going to. Who's just going to sit there and let chaos erupt around them?
Yeah, unless you get sucker punched and you go down.
Yeah, at that point, yeah.
That way, you would not do anything. But if you have a fighter and can take a punch and you know your attacker's right there, you go at it, you know. So I don't think anybody would blame him for it. So, yeah, and when you put it like that, I could see where it could have just been a certain warning, you know, and a lot less. But I think when in terms of what he made also for that fight, $50,000 practice is nothing. So that could be still though. It does sound like that's the commission trying to nickel and dime a little money out of something. Like, how much money can you ask for without raising too many eyebrows? Mm-hmm. You know, instead of just saying, well, really, the guy didn't do anything that bad. He was defending himself. So we gave him a slap on the wrist, told him, don't come back for 6 months or whatever. You know, even just time alone would have been probably good enough. But the fact that they were like, I bet we can get away with $50,000.
Yeah.
You know, but, and we all take it as like, especially hearing, you know, $500,000 at the very beginning of the whole thing. They like set up the big number. So anything after that point was sounded so minuscule that we're like, oh, never mind. Never mind.
Like
instead
change.
Of being like, wow, you really fined him $50,000 for that? He was fucking defending himself. You know, so there I am cussing again. They got me fired up.
You
got
to bring it in. You got to bring it in.
So, yeah, now I feel like, yeah, that was a sham. It was a money grab. Those dirty money grabbing. Like, it's so funny. Like, that's always the comments on YouTube. People are just like, these dirty money businessmen just money grabbing, taking the money out, and like, I get it.
They get to keep the money, though.
I know, but I get the anger, you know? I mean, like, but they operate primarily off of the money that's brought in by fines and money from events and the thing. They get it, so it behooves them to fine people, you know? So it's a little weird. It'd be another thing if their operating budget was completely separate from the money that they bring in.
Right.
You know, like, if the money came in and only went to a fund that they didn't have their hands on, I guarantee the fines wouldn't be as much, unless the governor was tasking them to raise money. Like, he's like, hey, we got some, you see how much that highway, that new highway stuff that we're building out there?
Sure would like
it. Find some people.
You enjoying driving on that highway,
you
are
like
you?
Like that highway? Mm-hmm.
All right, listen, kind of going back to the press conference today, a little bit of surprising news, and it rolled out in kind of a very weird fashion. I think it was Brett
Okamoto. I don't think he realized.
That it was just like, hey, by the way, you know, we didn't even talk about Aspen Ladd versus Holly Holm. Let's talk about that fight. Dana said, oh, that fight's not happening.
He just seemed so clueless at the fact that nobody knew that wasn't. I think he probably afterwards probably walked back in the back and was just like,
did nobody know?
Nobody knew, huh? Weird.
It was so weird, right? The whole room just got quiet, like, what?
Yeah.
That was a good fight. It was a really good fight. But, yeah, it was bizarre. No one knew.
That's the kind of thing they should sort of lead off of. If he knew that they needed to break it, maybe, I don't know, they were expecting it. But if they knew it was gone or whatever, that's the kind of shit that, you know, you at some point say, hey, you know, I just want to let you guys know this fight's not happening, this fight. And that people would have just got over it and be like, oh, well, that sucks. Why? Well, you know, at least some sort of explanation. But the fact that he offered up no explanation and it happened to come out because somebody asked why aren't they up here?
Yeah, otherwise it wouldn't have come out.
Yeah, or it wouldn't have came out.
I mean, Aspen Ladd didn't know that her fight was off.
She found out
by being reached out. And so let's just do that. It was weird. No one knew. Aspen Ladd didn't know. So I reached out to Aspen Ladd and had a chance to talk to her briefly on the phone. Really just once we got here and before we sat down. So let's just play that. You can hear her kind of instant reaction to what happened.
Hello?
Aspen.
Hi, I'm here.
Hey, it's Tom Morgan. How you doing?
I've been better.
I imagine so. We've all been taken by surprise this evening. So I guess that's just what I wanted to ask you. I mean, give us the emotion right now. I mean, what's running through your head?
Dude, I don't even know what to say. Because I found out like everybody else, I just hopped out of the ring sparring, and I had 10 missed messages from everybody trying to, what's going on. I just now found out the same way as everybody else, and I got announced at the press conference.
That is, that's got to be pretty disheartening, I guess, right? Just feel like you got the rug pulled out from under you or something?
It's beyond frustrating. Because this fight, I was excited for it. Holly is a unique challenge to fight. And we've been geared towards fighting her since we found out about it. We signed the document. We signed the, went on record signing it on December 27th. Everything's on paper. We're ready to go. I'm doing everything you're supposed to do, getting the weight down. I was freaking doing medicals this week. And everything's been geared towards this fight, this opportunity. I was extremely excited. Now I just don't know what to make.
So I know it's still relatively fresh, but have you been able to find out what's going on and what happened? I mean, we asked Dana after he announced it what's happening, and basically just said he's working on new fights. Were you able to find out any more information?
No, there is absolutely nothing, no information yet. And what's incredible to me is that I know she was on Ariel Helwani within the last couple of days talking about this fight. She's been on record talking about it. So as far as I was concerned, we signed it. We're going to fight. Sounds like she was ready to fight. So I don't know what happened. I don't know why. It's something to do with her management, I guess. But it's Team Home somehow, for some reason, pulled out. I don't know.
Wow. So what's the plan? I mean, they didn't tell us. You know, they just said, hey, they're working on another fight for you both, you know, maybe another card. I mean, do you have any idea, like, would you like to stay on this card if you can? Would it matter if the opponent? I know it's soon, but what are you thinking right now, how to make this right, how to fix it?
It's so up in the air right now, and my emotions are just all over the place. Like, it's so fresh. I don't have any information. Like, I won't know much until tomorrow because everybody, like, for example, if I'd known this a couple days ago, I would be in Brazil right now supporting my teammates, but I was getting ready for my own fight, so I didn't go. But my management there, both the UFC people are in Brazil right now, so there's delays everywhere in finding out more about what's going on.
That's crazy. I mean, what do you think? Is there a deadline? I mean, what? This is only, what, about 5 weeks out, if that? I mean, when do you need to know? How do you make a decision? What do you think?
I'm going to see what they tell me tomorrow and the day's coming, but it would have been exactly 4 weeks out from this Saturday. We're like 4.5 weeks right now.
So what's this make you think about Holly? I mean, are you angry with her? I mean, does it feel like now you really want to fight her at some point in your life? Or do you, like, tag with this girl? I mean, she did me wrong. What are you thinking?
I would still love to fight her now, any opportunity. But no, there's not a hatred there. I don't know what's going on. I don't know her situation. I'm frustrated. I'm frustrated from the point of view, this is my life. This is my career. It's what I do. I'm frustrated that this fight got pulled. But no, I don't know what her situation is, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm just in general. But who
what
knows?
Do you think?
Cause from what it sounded like, she thought she was fighting too. So who knows what happened?
What do you think? What do you think you'll do tomorrow? You're going to be able to sleep tonight, or will you get up and go to the gym tomorrow? Will you get up and wait for a phone call? What do you think you'll do?
I'm going to do the same thing I always do. I'm going to go for a hike, and then I'm going to go right to the gym. I'm going to keep dropping my weight because I am. Literally, I can make it on. Basically now, like, we're ready to go. But I'm just going to keep acting like, okay, there's a fight coming up real soon. I'm going to train regardless, and I'm going to hope there's some good news.
Oh, well, I guess that's the right attitude to take. I apologize that we got to talk under these circumstances. Hopefully it all ends up working out okay for you.
Yeah, I hope so. But I mean, I'm sure it will. But right now it's really fresh, and I'm really pissed off.
I understand completely. Well, we will we'll stay in touch over the next couple of days, and hopefully we get some good news after this crazy night.
Yeah, I hope so.
All right, we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, bye.
Welcome back to MMA Roadshow. That was a quick little phone conversation with Aspen Ladd. You could definitely hear the emotion in her voice. Okay, look, everybody's trying to speculate right now what it's about. You did see Amanda Nunes come out and post a little cool glasses emoji, adding speculation. It would make some sense, to put her on that Curitiba card that's coming up, because it sounds like they're going back to a stadium. You got to think they need as many breaths. What's making you chuckle over there, Cole Coffee? Are you getting more information about your MiFi device?
No,
increased gigs?
I thought it was just the way your brain connected. You said she put some specs, and then you said speculation, and I was thinking how your brain. So it made me chuckle how I was like, I wonder if you realized that his brain did that, and how if it made you come up with that word, or if you were just like,
I thought I said glasses.
Which is, are you sure you didn't say specs?
I don't think so.
I think you said specs.
rewind, play it.
I have to go back and look at it. Now you said glass, but I thought you said specs, and that's why I was thinking you said.
You thought I was being clever. I definitely was not trying to be clever.
Like, you're like, oh, and it just made your brain think of speculation. And like, that was why. But yeah, I don't know. Now I'll feel dumb if you did say glass. I'm pretty sure you said specs. But I will
tell
find out soon enough
Tell us more about your data plan.
I'm pretty excited about this 10 gigabyte data plan. It's the highest one. I don't know why they don't have unlimited. Like, oh, just have unlimited, brah. Come on, man.
All right, so listen. The speculation from the specs would be, you know, that maybe they're putting that fight together. Very nice. Well done. That they're putting that fight together in Curitiba. You know, they're supposed to be going back to a stadium show, but they've got to get the right fights lined up. I mean, you can't just pull the trigger on a stadium show if you don't have fights lined up that you know will sell out
Cyborg.
That arena. Oh, man.
Damn, against
I'd love to see the rematch. Cyborg versus Megan Anderson would be good.
Like, yeah, if they're doing something over there, and then if they're going to have Amanda with, like, somebody else, like, Cyborg needs to be on that card. If they're doing an arena in Brazil, Cyborg needs to be on that card. You'd have to pull out every heavy hitter.
Oh yeah,
that they have over there, because, I mean, I don't know how well their dollar has recovered.
No,
I know a while back it was really, really bad.
Still hard,
you know. So that's a lot of people, and they'd have to really price it down. But yeah, I would bring Cyborg on there if you could have this Amanda, if that is even in the works. Shit, who else?
Holloway Moicano, if Moicano wins.
Whoa.
That'd be big.
That would be big.
That'd be a big fight.
Hmm. I wonder if Max would want to go there.
I know. You got to wonder. Why would you be the champ?
Yeah,
why do you got to be the champ and got to go fight on foreign soil, you know?
Doesn't make sense.
But, I mean, the opportunity to headline in a stadium or something might be pretty big.
I think he probably still wants to hold out for that Hawaii. He's like, we're still going to Hawaii.
We're going to make that happen. So, listen, I mean, I guess hopefully we'll hear more tomorrow. Unfortunately, it's, you know, these situations are weird sometimes, right? Because, like, everybody goes, oh, it's ridiculous for the UFC to, you know, for an athlete to hear about this through the, you know, social media or whatever. And it is.
It's really bad.
But at the same time, we also know nobody in this business can keep a secret, right? I mean, nobody in this. So, you know, if you're trying to move things around and you don't want, you know, you're working on something, but you don't know if it's going to come through yet. But then again, I mean, the way Dana was just so flatly like, oh, it's not happening.
I think this is one of those cases when you have so much shit going on that some things are getting dropped off to the side. I mean, like, you know, like a lot of people criticize, like, how can you not look on your fight card and see that somebody maybe has a past criminal history or whatever,
right,
or an instance where, like, you know, with the whole, let's just go back to Hardy
and Ostevich.
You know, Hardy and Ostevich.
Or
like,
I believe that was an oversight.
Like,
I
people were just like, why didn't we look at this thing? So here you have another chance where you have so much stuff going on that you didn't realize, oh, hey, you know, we should say something if we know that this is not going to happen, or if they were like, oh, hey, you know, oops, forgot, you know, or something. Just
I mean, it could be a situation. And again, this all unfolded, so I haven't even had a chance to talk to people behind the scenes and find out what's happening. But I could very well see a situation where, you know, they had their Tuesday matchmaker meetings, which they always do every Tuesday. They got together and they're like, hey, let's talk about Curitiba. You know, what do we got that can fill the stadium?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what if we did Amanda Nunes Holly Holm for the 145 title? Like, maybe we could get, you know, I know Amanda said she wouldn't, but maybe that would be a good one. Let's do it at 145. And then they go, okay, well, if we do that, we got to break apart this Aspen lad. But we got to talk to Amanda first. You know, let's you know what I mean? At that point, you're saying, let's set the balls emotionally. You don't really, at that point, you don't want to call Holly and Aspen and say, hey, fight's off. Because it's not. It's not off. You're waiting until Amanda says, you know, if theoretically that's what happened.
Yeah.
You're waiting until Amanda says, you know what, I'm in. And then when she says she's in, then that's when you break the news and go, guys, or gals, here's what we had to do. You know what I mean?
Still got to say something. Like, the fact they still haven't said why the fight's off. They just said it's not happening.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
That is weird.
Like, that's so weird. I get it. If there's a better move for it or whatever, then just say the fight's off because we have bigger plans for them.
That's true.
You know, I mean, there's not going to be much bigger for Aspen side because Holly, that's a pretty big get. That's a good get for her. But, you just got to say something. I mean, there's a lot of little things that it's just like, you know, I think when people are like, oh, you're going to pick up an event, you want to move to another city out of the state. They're doing a lot of these little things that it's just like, oh, sorry, fans. Sorry, I forgot to let you know these things are going on. Here's another instance where they're like, oh, hey, sorry, fans, let alone, hey, sorry, fighter, this is not happening.
Right.
You know? The fact that, I mean, has Holly said anything? Or is, you know,
no.
The fact she hasn't makes it seem that she was well aware that something was coming down the line.
Definitely.
But unfortunately, you know, Aspen wasn't. You know? Shitty.
They
do some
shitty,
shady little things. I think it just a lot of pieces. I get it. You have things going, but keep track of the fact that, okay, if we're going to do this, we have to say something about it, you know? Maybe they thought there was still time that nobody would ask, but if you're going to have a press conference, more than likely.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Would it be better for, like, Dana to just, like, go, like you know, obviously, like, not loud, I'm just like, yeah, that's a good fight, too. Like, just, like, not say anything? Like, would that have been the better approach? You know, like, yeah, well, we only had so much space up here at the table today.
It could have been a way that he could have definitely –
So
and
you
maybe,
think it would have been better? Like, because I sometimes like that about Dana, that he's accidentally honest sometimes.
Well, and that's true. But, I mean, the fact that I think maybe somebody should have better – like, I mean, there's people that watch him, you know, and say these are the points that this might come up, this come up, you know. And if maybe they weren't even aware that it didn't happen so that they couldn't
– True.
Notify him to say, hey, make sure you
like
get
PR
out ahead of that.
Like PR maybe, couldn't give him a coaching
that's
with a strategy.
I mean, I didn't want to throw PR under the bus, but yeah, I mean, it's like if maybe PR didn't even know that fight was off themselves, and that's why they didn't say, hey, by the way,
if this gets
should,
brought up,
you should, yeah,
here's how you should
do
handle
this,
it.
Or get out in front of it, you know, or something.
Yeah.
That's probably what it is. Maybe there isn't something set and they want to have that better news, but yeah, there should have been a better way. You know, he could have just sidestepped and said, you know, both parties weren't able to do it and just left it like that and without – or just saying some of the parties couldn't make it. And Aspen would have thought, oh, yeah, I wasn't asked, you know, so it must have been Holly's side. And if there's
Holly
no
goes,
word –
I
I'm
wasn't asked, must have been her.
Yeah, yeah. So,
look at you.
I don't know.
PR wizard Cold Coffee with the strategy.
Something.
Dana, just hit up my boy Cold Coffee.
I got you, D.
He'll coach you.
I got you.
All right, last thing from the press conference, I did want to ask quickly about Cody Garbrandt and Pedro Munhoz. First of all, it's nice to see that Cody doesn't necessarily still hate me, so that was good. That was nice. And had the fun with Pedro Munhoz when John Jones got involved as an interviewer and asked him to say something bad about Cody, and Pedro couldn't say anything bad. He said something nice about it.
I will say one nice thing. And he's like, no, that's
not
what
he
asked.
And, John started laughing. Oh, I see our pay-per-view is going down because people are being nice to each other.
Funny.
But, you know, it was good, though. I think it was good to see that positive energy from Cody Garbrandt, number one, man. Like, I think that's better, you know, than necessarily fighting with a chip on his shoulder, man. He just seemed relaxed and happy, and that's good. And then Pedro was kind of always – laid back, cool Pedro, but it's kind of fun to hear him talking about, you know, maybe I need to start talking shit or whatever. And then it's like, you know, he's so nice.
Yeah.
He's
believe it when we see it.
He's a good looking guy. He's a very nice.
I was like, that's not how you do it.
So good. And then it was funny. You saw they went through their face off, and Cody was like, oh, so that's a nice suit you got on there, man. That's a good looking suit, bro. And they were like, just kind of giving pleasantries. So that's a big fight at 135. I mean, it does look like Cejudo's in the driver's seat right now as far as coming back up to face Dillashaw and doing that rematch. And I think that does make sense. Just for the history, is like, you know, you came down to me, now I'll come up to you and give Cejudo a chance to be this champ, especially since we still don't know exactly what's going on with the flyweight division. But, yeah, I don't know. I thought it was kind of fun to see those guys today and see that out there. So, all right, listen, Fortaleza real quick. We're not down there, but I know we've all been kind of editing the coverage and working on the coverage. Rafael Sunsal, Marlon Moraes, basically I think that's a number one contender fight in the 135-pound division. No disrespect to Garbrandt and Pedro Munhoz. I think they're just kind of one step below that, basically. I think this is a number one contender fight. Although, you know, if Cejudo does sneak up and take the title fight, maybe the winner of these two fights is going to have to fight, you know, each other. So maybe there's one more step along the way. Jose Aldo versus Renato Moicano. Love that fight. Man, you know, it sounds like Jose Aldo is saying this is going to be his final calendar year of competing. He wants to fight three times and call it a career. Aldo, man, I know if you're a new – If you're new to the sport and all you've seen is recent Aldo, I could see people going, what's the big deal around this guy? He's all right. He ain't nothing special.
I mean, he's done okay.
Yeah, but man, you go back to like WC era Aldo, and man, he was just wrecking fools. He was phenomenal. So, you know, sad to see his career winding down. Renato Moicano, though, meanwhile, seems in the way. But I actually went with Moicano in my picks, man. The size. You know, it's kind of their momentum, that sort of thing. But, I mean, this is a big fight. And it was funny, you know, Fernanda Prochas was down there doing interviews, and You know, one of the questions she asked Hinato, or Hinato, I kind of combined his names there. Hinato was about Hinkano. I don't know. Hinato was about, you know, what it's like, because Aldo is a legend in Brazil, especially, man. I mean, he's one of the most respected MMA fighters of all time in there. I mean, Anderson is still a god. Rodrigo Nogueira is still a god. Vitor Belfort is incredibly popular, but Aldo is kind of always that man of the people, you know. And so for Moicano to say, you know, she was asking what it was like to face somebody that you kind of grew up, you know, as a legend. So kind of cool crossroads there. Damian Maia in desperate need of a win. He's got a nasty losing streak, but you look at who he's been losing to. He's been losing to the absolute best of the division. So here he's got a tested lineman good, who's a dangerous individual on the other side of the cage. But
he's a big boy.
He is. Certainly doesn't have the pedigree of Damian Maia, but he's got the strength.
I think I was the only one that picked him.
Did you? Yeah, I
picked him. I looked at some of his past fights, and, I mean, I just wanted to see how well he did on the ground. And I thought he looked okay, but, I mean, granted, Damian Maia is a different level. But seeing that size, I think if he can keep that distance and land a couple power shots, man. But just see him across from each other, I was like, whoa, this dude's big.
Yeah, he's a strong dude, man.
Dude's big.
Charles Oliveira, David Tamer, that's a fun fight. Clash in styles there, man. Submission versus striker should be fun.
Yeah, Justin, they were all up in their face. That face-off, there was some heat there.
I like Oliveira. He's kind of dorky too, man. He's got the glasses always, and he comes out.
You think he's dorky just because he's got glasses?
Yeah.
Just so bad.
Just dorky glasses.
Some people with glasses. It's hot.
Hot? What?
Yeah, I think Heather looks really cute when she wears her glasses.
Well, we're talking about gentlemen here.
Well, I mean, hey, if Pedro says that another man can be good looking, I can say that they are good looking. I'm man enough. I'm comfortable in my sexuality to say whatever.
Justin Ledette, Johnny Walker. Johnny Walker.
Do you think everybody that wears
rage.
Glasses is dork?
No, I just think he wears like dorky glasses. Like I think
his glasses itself.
Yes, not just because you wear. I should.
I
wear
thought
glasses.
You were like junking on him because
he's
wearing
glasses. No.
Glasses.
Think he wears. Like, I just think when he puts his glasses on, he looks kind of dorky. He looks kind of like a
like
he looks
ones?
Like. I mean, he's
like,
tall. Like
real like they're not like Harry Potter.
No,
glasses.
But it's just. I mean, he's tall, right? Like he's tall, and so. But he looks like – like when he puts his glasses on, I just feel like he's one of those guys that if he was in the bar and kind of bumped into you, you'd be like, fuck, bro. You know what I mean? Like he'd be like, oh, excuse me, sir.
Then he ties you into a pretzel.
Yeah, and then he ties you up, exactly. Yeah.
That's funny.
Justin Ledette, Johnny Walker, kind of all the rage.
That should be a good
That should
one.
Be a good fight. What, hey, did you see Johnny Walker's trip onto the stage? Did you?
I did.
Did he stage it or did he trip?
No, he legit tripped.
I thought
because
what I thought
Kenny
too.
Caught him.
Yeah.
Like Kenny was on it like, I mean, he legit.
He seems like tripped. The kind of guy that would mess around and pretend like he was falling, but it looked like he was really falling.
No, it looked like he would have sold it really good. I think it's just the fact that he caught himself after it because right. He had decent enough balance after right. It, but. How about fucking Ledette's crazy flat earth speech and Fernando's thing? Bro. That's the crazy thing. And it's like, you know, I like to believe
is that
he is,
is that
I think
is
it's
he
just
having
stick.
Some fun.
I think it's just dick, but it's like, come on, there's a time and a place. Like you just got done saying about how I thought he said he was in Germany and he's flying down to wherever, going back over in Brazil. It's like, so you just see that as all one linear plane and just straight there. Huh?
I think anybody that talks about flat earth is just straight trolling.
I think you would hope
nobody can actually.
You would
that.
Hope in this day and age, but there's some people that. Where was that place that where somewhere in the south where they have the dinosaur park, but it's like but it says like they're like 6,000 years old
right.
Or something.
Oh, does it really?
Yeah, or
so
whatever
it's like,
the
it's
year,
like in
6,000 or 9,000.
The biblical timeline, basically.
Yeah, some weird sort of thing. So it has like. Statues or features of like kids playing with dinosaurs or some stupid shit or something. Like, gosh, you guys have heard of science before, right? There's science.
That's funny.
But yeah. But I think he was trolling. But it's still, like, if you guys haven't listened to it, like, go find the interview. It's on YouTube. It's on the
website.
It's
on YouTube.
Website.
It'll run on the site on Friday. I have all the. I have it set up in the morning, my very, very early morning. But, yeah, I'll have it there. But, yeah, it's on our YouTube channel. So, Sarah Frota versus Lavinia Souza, that's going to be a good fight. I actually went Frota on that. She was
so
tough on the Contender Series.
Dude.
Boy. She was scary.
She's got good size, too. I mean, I watched Souza when she fought with – when she was the Invicta champ. Mm-hmm. And she's tough.
She's very
But
solid.
I went with Frota's size, man, and she seems like she had decent power. And she also seemed like she had a pretty good ground game. That's why I leaned towards her on that one.
I agree. I think the gem of the prelims for me is Thiago Alves, Max Griffin. I think that's the one I'm probably most looking forward to there.
That should be good.
Junior Albini versus Jared Rosenstruck. Junior Albini got a tough late replacement coming in there. making his debut. Nurmagomedov, Ramos, and Bibilatov, Rogerio Bontorin, another guy that came off the Contender Series. It was good as well. So, fun card. Some very, very meaningful fights up at the top. It is, of course, on ESPN+. Plus. So, if you don't have your subscription yet, you got to get that. I will say as well, starts a little bit earlier, right? 8 o'clock Eastern for the main card. I think they usually start at like 10 p.m. Eastern. Yeah, so, I mean, prelims are going to start at 2 p.m. here in Las Vegas. Main card's going to start at 5 p.m. Fight card will be done by like 8.
Whoa.
I dig it, man. I dig it. It seems like, based on the schedule upcoming, that the UFC for non-pay-per-view events is actually moving the start time up a little bit on ESPN and ESPN+. And let me just say, I dig that, man. Yeah. I totally dig that. So
that's like, it's like ESPN has some power to move things around a little bit.
That's it, man. Well, I think they just realized it. I mean, you got to realize. I mean, you can't stay up that late every week.
It's true. But also, too, I think ESPN Plus was probably trying to look for some good, solid programming in those hours, too. Those are prime hours.
Yeah, they want the prime hours. They don't need the late hours. They want the prime time hours.
They want that prime time stuff.
I agree. I dig it. All right, well, listen, like I said, busy week, even though we weren't on the road, but we will be watching, of course, this event. UFC on ESPN Plus 2, Sun Tzu versus Moraes.
Yeah.
And then next week I'll be on my own. I'm going to Australia. Bummed that you won't be making the journey.
No, you're not.
I am.
No, you're not.
It just means more work when you're not there.
What? I'll still be working, doing the work here. You're just going to be shipping everything to
me. It's going to be – I mean, but I don't have to shoot it when you're there.
I know.
So right away
it's
more work.
I know. Well, whatever. So, which reminds me, if you guys haven't signed up from ESPN Plus, even though you could be more than willing to go and sign up from the MMA Junkie website, there are also now I have banners on our website, so you could sign up for trials of ESPN Plus from our website, and that will help the MMA Roadshow.
From the MMA Roadshow website.
Yes.
I dig it. We're gonna start putting some effort into that, I think, this year. That's the plan.
I wrote my first little page, which is more of just a collection of links, which I'm going to start small like that because I'm not a great writer, but I do like to write and hear myself. So I'm going to try to put more stuff on there. I know that you're going to get more involved,
just
but I know
you're
pretty involved.
Just think how crappy of a videographer I was at one point, and I've gotten pretty good.
Yeah.
You could do the same thing as a writer.
I don't want to be too good because then people will expect it for other stuff. Just enough for us. Just for the road show.
The road show.
Just for the road show.
Yeah, we're going to try to do a little bit more with the website. Try to be a little bit more of, I guess, individualized for us. And
And a lot of it just, I mean, I think we have a way to, I think it's one thing, like, we can create videos and we put the real stories, but I think we can maybe get a little more personal, maybe talk a little bit more about what was going on behind the scenes, maybe what was happening when the video took place, and talk a little bit, you know. I'm never going to be as investigative or thorough as, like, what a magnificent one Stephen Morocco might, or what some of the other pretty words, but I think the stuff that you experience on the site, the stuff that I experience on site, or just dealing with all that stuff, and then relate it to some of the videos. So a lot will be the same videos that are shared on Junkie. I mean, it's not like we're going to be creating a whole two sets of other videos and stuff, but it'd be a nice repurposing of some of the stuff we're putting on Junkie, but maybe with a little other input from what was going on. So
I dig it.
Yeah, it'd be good. So if you have to sign up for ESPN Plus, do it from the road show.
I like it. Look at you figuring out all kinds of stuff.
Trying, man. Working at this. Trying.
That's what's up. All right, well, listen, it's getting late. I got to be up in just a couple of hours to cover these weigh-ins. So we'll have all that at MMA Junkie. By the time you listen to this, it's probably already going to be over because these things start early in the morning. 3 a.m. Pacific time is when my shift starts.
I'll be sleeping right then.
Ooh. All right, I'm out. Everybody else? Thanks for listening.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this. Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.